Thank you, Jeff. All right. I'm going to keep my promise. I know if you got the email, the students weren't caught off guard by that. But I can guarantee that you possibly were, because the students know that I have lost my mind and lost it a long time ago. So that was supposed to be funny. Here's the thing. I promise you this morning that I am going to somehow, some way, tie in for you the fact that Titus does have something to do with a washing machine. I promise. So if you'll just bear with me for a few minutes as we kind of walk through this and we talk through this. Because here's what happened. As I am preparing and I'm doing all these things, I've met with Steve. We've talked over and over and over for the past couple of weeks. We've done all these things. Then we finally get together and we have another conversation. And we're talking. And I'll be honest with you. I have it in my mind. You ready? I have it in my mind as to what I think I need to share. Okay? So as I'm going on and on with all this, and I'm thinking about this stuff, and I'm you know, processing all of this, how I think it should be done. Okay, I hope you're catching on to what I'm saying. I'm not at ease with it. It's just not working in my heart. I got the Dr. Scholl's commercial going through my brain. I'm just not gelling with it. Okay, so here's the deal. I decide one day. I walked over to the office and I say to Kathy Henderson, I say, Kathy, I'm going for a walk. And you know, Kathy already looks at me sometimes like I'm a little nutty anyway, which is fine. I'm used to that. So I go over to my office real quick. I had a couple oranges, and I grab those, and I just start walking over towards the barn property. I about pointed that way, over to the barn property. And as I'm walking over there, I'm just praying. I'm like, God, you've got to help me, because this is, it's just not working. It's not clicking in my brain. So as I'm walking and I'm just praying and I'm talking to God and I'm having this conversation and everything, I finally just stop and I'm just standing over there kind of in between the pasture and the barn and the handy house, and I'm just kind of looking and kind of watching and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, Jeff, this is not as spiritual as what you just said. I thought maybe the orange was bad or something, but all of a sudden, as I'm eating this orange, I really heard washing machine. And I just kind of went, okay. So I thought, maybe it's a little hot. Maybe I shouldn't be out here walking around. But I just said, God, okay, that's great. But I really need you to help me. At which point I felt like I heard washing machine. So I'm going, this just really doesn't make any sense. This is just not connecting with me. And so as I started walking around the pasture, which I do quite frequently because it's just a good way to clear my head, I'm walking around the pasture, and as I start walking around the pasture, all of what I'm about to share with you comes out. And I literally, probably like a goofy little kid, come running over. Steve is trying to leave for the afternoon, and I'm like, I need to talk to you really quick. And he's like, okay. So we go back in his office, and I very quickly ran through all of this with him, and I was like, okay, I'm going to take a deep breath now, and you tell me, is that just completely off the wall? At which, you know, Steve says to me, you are what you just shared. And that was supposed to be funny too. It's early, I realize that. So anyhow, as I share all this and I'm talking to Steve and everything, he does, he looks at me and he says, no. He said, you're right on, that's fine. So here's where we're going to go. We're going to go to Titus chapter 3. And I hope you can stay with me, because there's one particular thing that I want us to grab hold of this morning. Now I'm gonna step you through chapter 3, but there's one part in here that I really, and you'll know when I get there, that I just really want you to latch on to. And I think individually each one of us need to latch on to it, and I also think that we as a body, we as a church, need to latch on to it. Okay? So Titus chapter 3. I'm gonna take the time really quick just to read through it. So hopefully you're right there with me. But starting in verse 2, it says, do not talk bad about anyone. To be uncontentious, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Not on the basis of our deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. But shun foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes and about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Reject a factious man after a first and second warning. Reject him, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning and being self-condemned. Now, I want to skip to verse 14. And let our people also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Father, right now I just ask that you would just, that you would speak through me, that you would take all of Terry Huey and sit him aside. And Father, that you would speak through me, that you would allow your Holy Spirit, Father, to come and to just indwell my speech. God, I pray that, that ears and hearts would be open right now, that they would be able to receive the word that you have for them. God, we thank you and we love you and we give you all glory and honor and praise. And we thank you that we can come to you because of your son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Here's the thing. You know, I'm going to start out by just kind of giving you a little bit of an illustration. We got the laundry, we got the washing machine here. We got the laundry. And I want you to kind of, if you will, take this in your brain, all right, as you go throughout your life. If I want you to let this for a second represent your life, the washing machine and the laundry. Do you ever just kind of walk by and you see certain things or you whatever and you just go, well, you know, I know that laundry and it may be laundry, but life. Do you ever just walk through and you just say to yourself, you know, I know something should be done about that. If somebody would just do it, it'd get done. Is there ever a time in your life, is there ever a situation in your life you see certain things and when you do that, you just go, hey, I know that'll get done and it really needs to be done because it looks really bad sitting there, but I'm not going to do it. Somebody really should do that. And I know if I take this laundry and I take this stuff and I throw it down in here in the washing machine, it'll get clean. If I'll put it in and I'll turn it on and do what needs to happen, it'll happen. Now, I see a lot of smirks from a lot of wives or women that are kind of looking over to their husbands. And if mine were in here right now, she'd probably be doing the same thing. But I'm not necessarily talking about at your household and going, I know that laundry will get it. I'm talking about life. Look at this as life right now. Look at verses 2 and 3. It tells us that we're not supposed to talk bad about people. We're not supposed to be, it says that we're supposed to show every consideration to all men. It shows that we're supposed to be uncontentious and gentle. It goes through, it says we're not supposed to be foolish and disobedient. We're not supposed to be enslaved to the lust and pleasures of this world, hateful, gossips, deceiving, all these things. Okay, this is who we used to be. In verses 2 and 3, that's who we used to be. This right here, this is who we used to be. We all used to have our own issues. Some were more colorful than others. Some were just plain old issues, just day-to-day life things that just seemed bland and just, man, this is just life. But this is who we used to be, all right? All this stuff right here, we used to just carry it around. Now, you move on then to from there, and let's just go ahead and do it. Let's just put it in the holy washing machine right here. Thank you. We got it in the washing machine, all right? Now let's think about life, and let's put all this that we just dropped in there. That's us. The washing machine, if you hadn't quite figured it out by now, this is God. The washing machine is God. Now, I could get into the whole Trinity thing, and I decided, you know, just kick that aside for today, because I actually did think about that. And how does this even represent the Trinity? Okay, quick version. You got the washing machine. You got the water, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, the soap. Here's the thing. The pile of laundry at one time represented who we were, all right? Sometimes, you know, things happen. Some things happen in our life. Events happen in our life. Things take place. But somebody took the time when they walked by, they went, oops, somebody needs to do something about that. At some point in time in our life, somebody said, somebody really needs to help them. And they picked you up and they pointed you towards the Father. They pointed you towards the cross by something they did or by something they said, or a certain event in your life took place that pointed you to the Father. Something that allowed you to recognize that, hey, I need to be washed. There's something about me that's just not right. And I hear the beckoning and I hear the calling of the Father, of the Holy Spirit saying to me, let me cleanse you. Let me take you. Let me make you and mold you into something that is beautiful. So we have who we used to be in verses 2 and 3. That's who we used to be. Then we have in verses 4 through 7, when we come down to there, we have his love. We have his grace. We have his mercy. All right, that appeared to us. You see that right there. It appeared to us, to all men, so that we would know him. Something happened. Something took place in us, in our life, through someone or through some event that pointed us towards him, that we recognized our desperate need to know him and understand his ways. So we have verses 4 through 7, and we look at that. A choice was given to us at that moment of our recognition. And that choice was, is do I fight? Do I? Now, the laundry can't fight. Maybe it can sometimes when it gets really big. And if y'all's house is like our house, our laundry is always done because my wife is wonderful. Y'all thought I was going somewhere else, didn't you? Here's the thing. We can fight it. Or we can recognize, we can just come to the place that we say, you know what, I'm not going to fight it anymore. There's got to be some relief. There's got to be some sort of change. There's got to be some sort of something that happens inside of me, because I just can't deal with life anymore. I just can't take it anymore. So as all that happens and all that takes place, we look at right here, it tells us very clearly his mercy, according to his mercy in verse 5, by the washing of the regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. The one thing, if I could take a little side note and just tell you this morning, I hate talking about this. I don't like talking about it. I tell the students, and I've said this to them before, I hate talking about this. Do you know we're all going to live forever? We're all going to live forever. It's going to happen. Kara was able to go and speak to a neighbor of ours, and this is not in the notes. This is free. Kara was able to go and speak to a neighbor of ours several months ago who was dying of cancer. And she knelt down beside the bed with Tracy, who was dying of cancer, and Doug. And she looked at Tracy and she started talking to them about Jesus and talking to them about accepting him and talking to Tracy and Doug about how, Tracy, you need to understand that it can be as simple as this. It can be as peaceful as this. You take your last breath here and your next one, you exhale into heaven. Or you take it and you exhale it into that place that, quite frankly, I don't like to talk about. There is a true heaven and there is a true hell. And whether we like to admit it or not, There are people that are going there. We're all going to live forever, and we all have a choice to make as to whether that choice is, am I going to allow God to wash me and to cleanse me and to create in me something that is fresh and new, something that is life-changing, that is regenerating in who I am, that will change me not only for this life, but for eternity? Or am I going to deny that I need the washing, that I need the cleansing, that I need the regeneration in my life? There's one thing in here that I want you to see that just really jumped out at me. In verses 4 through 7, we go through and we read all of these things, and we hopefully get excited about it and get renewed by it. I know I did. But right here in verse 4, in my Bible, four words in, it says, "But when the kindness, I looked that up because I hope y'all do these things too. I looked that up because I went kindness because it had that little letter beside it. I'm a really simple kind of guy. I looked that up and it took me over to Romans. And here's what it says in Romans 2, chapter 2, verse 4. It says, well, let me just go there. I thought I had it right there and I don't. So let me just turn to it real quick. And by the way, there's a test later. Romans happens to be my favorite book of the Bible. Anyway, Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads to your repentance?" It's the kindness of God. It's the kindness of God that we're being warned about here, not only in Romans, but right here. It's saying to us, hey, be warned. Don't take lightly the kindness of God. Don't take lightly the fact that God looked down here on earth and said, hey, I love you guys. I created you. I knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. I love you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to cleanse you and wash you, to make you into something that can be beautiful. I want to take the burdens and the stress and the junk out of your life. God is warning us to not take lightly the kindness of his love and his grace and his mercy. Because it's his kindness that led us to salvation. So we've been placed into the washing machine. Through our acceptance of Jesus, our sin has been washed away. So then, being cleansed of our ungodliness, by the good work of the Father, through Jesus, we can now trust, keyword, in his faithfulness to us because of the work he has done in us. Now, that's a lot of words. It's a lot of words. So I hope you're sitting there going, huh? Out of our experience in his washing us, being put into the washing machine, the beautiful work that he has done, he has now performed in us, we know that we can trust him. We know after we come out of this washing machine, after we come out and we're cleansed, after we've been taken out and God has said, hey guys, I love you. He's put us through that gentle cycle. All right. He's then made something that's clean and beautiful. All right. We can trust him. We can trust him. So out of that trust, we now love. All right. So here's the next thing I want you to catch, because I think this is really important. And it tells us coming up, even so. When we know, K-N-O-W, that we can trust, then we know, K-N-O-W, love. In a sense, when you say to somebody, when I say to my beautiful bride, Kara, I love you, I'm also saying to her, Kara, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you with the intimacies of who I am. I trust you with my dreams. I trust you with my hopes. I trust you with my burdens. Because I know that in those things, she is not going to look at me and go, "What, are you stupid?" Well, just kidding. We know that we can trust the Father. We know that after that work that He has done in us and the experience of His Holy Spirit, we know that we can trust Him. All right? So, in verses 8, Paul says to us, and this is where I'm going. I want you to see this. It's not just Terry making it up. In verse 8, Paul is saying to us, listen closely. All right? Listen closely. I'm going to read the verse to you. It says, "This is a trustworthy statement." This is a trustworthy statement. What he's saying, guys, is listen closely. Listen closely. The reason he's telling us to listen closely is because verses 4 through 7, because of what we have experienced, because of the love that we understand the Father has for us, he's saying this is trustworthy. He's telling us right now, God loves you, so you can believe this. All right? So we come down a little further. There's three things right here I want you to understand. Number one, encouragement. Look for the laundry. We're being encouraged to look for the laundry. As we go throughout life and all these things are taking place, look for it. All right? Don't go through life like this. Look for the laundry. Look for those things that need to be done. Speak confidently. When you see it and you see that something's not being done right, stand up. Speak confidently. Is what it says right there. Stand up for what you know is right. I'm not talking about being belligerent, but I'm talking about going, hey, that somebody needs to do that. Bill Adenauer, I don't even think he's in here right now, and he'd kill me if he knew I was saying this, but here's the other thing. Bill Adenauer, the grass needs to be cut here at the church. Some of you have probably been contacted about helping with that. I know it's been in the bulletin. I know there's been announcements done by it. I know it's gone into our fusion classes and all those things. But guess what? Bill has been here every weekend, every Saturday, giving up his time to go out and cut the grass. And I know that there have been some of you that have come and done that. But here's the thing. Bill didn't go, "Well, somebody needs to cut the grass. Boy, it sure does look trashy up there at the church. What are those people thinking when they're driving by?" Pfft. Bill went, "You know what? The grass needs to be cut at the church." So what does he do? He comes up on Saturdays until 12 o'clock and he cuts the grass. Look for the laundry. So it says, do these things because you love him. All right? We don't do this just because out of obedience. What kind of love is that? For those of us that have children, you know, do you really want your kids to go, "Well, I'm just going to do that because mom and dad want me to"? Is that really what you want? Do they do that? Yeah. But doesn't it mean a whole lot more when your kids just do something and you know they're doing it because they love you? So we need to look for the laundry. We need to look for the laundry out of our love for him. Instruction is the next thing. Do the laundry. Do it. Just what I was talking about with Bill. It says right here, engage in good deeds. Shun foolish controversy, strife, disputes. Reject those who do these things. Now, again, it would be very ugly of us if somebody started going, "Well, somebody needs to do something about it." You go, "Ch-ch-ch." That wouldn't be right. But what you can do is you can gently put your arm around them and you go, "Hey, wait a minute. Did you ever think that maybe God is placing this on your heart because He wants you to be the one to do something about it?" Let me throw something else at you. Maybe when you hear somebody doing that, maybe that's the Holy Spirit working through that person that you then take your arm and you not only point them to Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is speaking through them to speak to you. The last is a warning. Stay away from those that just want to talk bad about how bad the pile of laundry is. The grass could just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. "Well, somebody's got to do something about it. Good grief." How ridiculous is that? You know what? Some people, I hate to say it, we can't give that gentle little nudge. We can't just gently put our arm around them, because it doesn't matter what you do, they're always going to continue to point. Well, yeah, they got out there and cut, but did you see that they didn't weed eat around that one spot right there? Stay away. Because why? It tells us they're just self-condemning themselves. They're sinning and they're bringing self-condemnation down on themselves. Now, here's the really cool part. All of this started with me several weeks ago. I have a blog that I was very consistent with for a while, and just because of different and various and sundry things, I haven't been so consistent with it. But a few weeks ago, I posted something. I had no idea when I posted that a few weeks ago that God was actually preparing and starting something in me that I'm now presenting to you today. Let me share this with you. We are 213 days into 2009. Now, everybody just go ahead with me, because I keep doing it every time I read that. I go, whew, can you believe that we're actually 213 days into 2009? Okay? 213 days into 2009. We have 152 days left until 2010. All right? So here's my question for you. How are you going to take that 152 days that we have left in 2009 and point somebody to Jesus? Ephesians 2:10 tells us this: for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk through them. Not walk by them. Somebody really should do something about that. But that we should do something. That we should keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open and listening, so that when we see the laundry, we go, whoa, hey, somebody needs to do something about that. All right? So, as we go through the next 152 days and we start looking at where we are, what are you going to do? Verse 14. That was the reason I singled it out. Because this is the verse, when I read it, it just jumped out at me and just grabbed hold of me. And let our people also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs, that they may not be unfruitful. First, learn to engage. I looked up the word to engage. It says attract, involve, participate, or become involved in. Okay? We are to become involved in our surroundings. We are to become involved in our life. Again, the whole blinders thing, don't walk through life like this. Don't do it. And if you have them on, ask God to help you take them off. I would even say, ask God, say, God, help me to find out what areas in my life I've got the blinders on and remove them. So look at your sports teams that you and maybe your kids are involved in. Look at your neighborhoods that you live in. Look at your neighbors. Look at your jobs. And instead of going, oh, that job just stinks, I can't stand going to that job, maybe it's not about you. Maybe it's not about you. Maybe God has placed you in that job because there's somebody there that He wants you to minister to point to Jesus. Maybe you've been put on that athletic team, that sports team, because there's somebody on that team that you need to minister to. Kara and I live over here off of Hamby Road. And I'll be honest with you, we moved into the house we moved into, and we love our house, don't get me wrong. But we have had to do a lot of stuff to that house since we moved in. And you know, I could get really frustrated and go, thanks, God. Thanks. Or we can do... And I'll be honest, okay, I have done that. Out of frustration, I've done that. I don't want to give you the wrong impression. But where we've gotten to now is we've gone simply, hey, God, thank you for placing us where you've placed us. On our street, there are 22 middle school, or pardon me, elementary age kids. 22. And we're slap dab in the middle of our street. We're halfway in the middle of our street. God's put us there for a reason. The second thing is this, in good deeds to meet pressing needs. All right. So here it is again. Look for the laundry and do it. All right. Look for the laundry and do it. We should do these things because we trust him and because we love him, not out of ridiculous obedience, but because of our love for the Father and what he's done in us. So don't walk through your life with the blinders on, like I've said. All right. Look for the laundry and do it. Be the one that's just going to do it. All right. The third thing is this, that they may not be unfruitful. This is us. Don't get caught up in the junk of the world and just start looking at it going, somebody should do something about that because that's pathetic. So, that's it. I'm a pretty simple guy, pretty simple-minded. I don't have a lot of whatever. It takes God saying to me as I go on a walk, washing machine, for me to be able to understand what he's trying to explain to me in the scripture. So this morning, this is what I've got for you. We're here. The washing machine's here. The laundry's here. And it's just waiting. We've got 152 days left. So I want to ask you this question. Number one, what are you going to do? You got a choice to make. What are you going to do? Where does this leave you, and how are you going to respond? Maybe you're sitting out there this morning, and as you're sitting out there this morning, you're saying, well, Terry, I just don't know. But then come and ask God what you need to do. Come and ask God to remove the blinders. Come and ask God. Say, God, I need your help. We've got to move. We're being asked to move, to engage. To engage means there has to be movement. There has to be some sort of something that happens. So what are you going to do? The other thing I want to say is Wildwood Church, what are we going to do? Are we going to sit idly by and look at the things here in our own congregation, here in our own body? Are we going to look at those things and just go, I don't know. It's easier just to complain about them. Or are we going to do something about it? Are we going to look at issues in the community that we know as a body that we can help with? One of those things that we've started doing is Storehouse Ministries. Kim Avery kind of took it upon herself and said, hey, this is something we need to do. I know we have people continually that are coming here and looking for help. So now we donate food to Storehouse Ministries. They put the boxes together. It gets brought here, and so many times a week people can come and get food from here. What are we going to do as a body? There it is right there. There's the pile of junk. There's the machine. Are we just going to look at it and go, whatever? How are we going to respond? The last thing is this. If you're sitting out there this morning and you're going, hey, Terry, man, I tell you what. There are some things in my life. There are some issues in my life. And I need God to come into my life because I don't know him. I haven't experienced that washing. I haven't experienced that regenerating in my life. Man, I'm caught up in the things of this world, and man, I need you to pray for me. I need you to help me to understand how to allow God to move and to work in my life. If that's you this morning, I want to encourage you here in just a minute to come on down. Let me talk to you. We've got some deacons and some deacons' wives. We've got Marshall is here, and we can talk to you. We can lead you through that. So if that's you, I want to encourage you to come down. Outside of that, I want to encourage you, if God stirred something in you, I want to encourage you to come down this morning and just to simply say, God, help me, because I don't know what it is I need to do. Take the blinders off of my eyes. And help me make a difference, at least in these next 152 days. Okay? Father, I thank you for this time.